The Holy Letters of the Rebbe in volume 17. This is letter number 6428. And Baruch Hashem, Rish Chodesh Menachem Avot Tovshin Yud Ches, Brooklyn, New York, Lekvoid, Master Ben Tzion Sheyichya HaMechuna. He is known as Dr. Dinor Shalom Uvrocha. Now, as we read in the bottom, there's the reference. This Dr. Dinor learned a short period in Chabad by the Rebbe Rashab, yet in the city of Lubavitch. But he didn't accept that. He ended up being representative in Knesset, representing Ben Gurion's party, Mapai, and he helped. But he helped Chabad. And Rebbe is writing to him in this letter. And for more details, you can look up his history as a reference in the bottom of this page. Shalom Uvracha. So the Rebbe says, I want to confirm with thanks receiving a printout of your article, Dmuso Ha'Historis Shel Yadus Harusis Ubayis HaChekir. But he writes the historical image of the Russian Jewry and the problems investigating. That's the name of his book. So he was sent to the Rebbe through our mutual friend, Rav Pinchas Sheyichya Altoiz, on Erev Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. And it was received, the Rebbe says, during days which are associated or tied to the day of redemption, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel Tammuz, in which my father-in-law, the Rebbe, went out to freedom. And so the Rebbe is basically saying, it came in a timely way. You're writing about Russian Jewry at a time that we're celebrating the freedom of my father-in-law, the Rebbe, whose very strong connection. We know how much his life was dedicated to Russian Jewry, and through Russian Jewry to general Judaism, but it was the Russian Jewry was his connection, to the extent that even when he came to Poland, when he moved out of Russia, and he came to the United States, this was one of his main lines in all of his activities. Also, when he worked with Judaism in the United States and generally with the Jewish people, he always had a special place. His main line was always connected to Russian Jewry. So the influence of my father-in-law, the Rebbe, and his activity as an individual. So, and that he was, according to expression, Hasidic expression, he was the head. So that extends also to all of the limbs, which means that the freedom of the Rebbe, the head, extends to the freedom to all of the Hasidim. And therefore, the happenings of those days, specifically, they set up Rebbe says, a direction, an internal in the life, the spiritual life of the Jews that were in Russia, and also of all people in general. This redemption, that caused a direction change in life in general with what took place at the time of the redemption of the Rebbe. So the Rebbe is basically attributing some of the changes in life to the previous Rebbe, to his struggles, his fights for Yiddishkeit. And the Rebbe addresses now, says, I know that according to many views of Marxism and science, etc., they don't think that an individual can impact the general public in a way that makes an important change. In other words, I don't believe that the Rebbe made this change with his conduct and his life. But the Rebbe says, in our time, it's nothing to shake you up if you come across a miracle. In other words, the Rebbe's impact, an individual can change a whole thing. Okay, so this may be a miracle, it may be out of the ordinary. Especially something which is connected to the Jewish people, a miracle. Because each one of them is, in the language of the Navi, Ud Mutzal Me'esh, is an ember saved from fire. So we're all here, miracles. I tried to annihilate the whole Jewish people. Every living Jew is an ember saved from fire. It's a Mefes Chai, it's a living proof that there is miracles. So, notwithstanding Marxism, that an individual cannot really impact, well, so let it be a miracle. This should happen. And another thing the Rebbe says, it is specifically the results of the science in these last 10 years, lately, they came to a conclusion that there isn't an absolute certainty with regards to the natural law, the laws of nature, that either they have come up with or they established that this has to be, this is nature. The scientists came up and said, it's only a possibility. It's not the absolute laws of nature that they think is not absolute, but it's a possibility. And you can't make a judgment call from generally on the individual. There might be changes. I mean, the Rebbe is saying, even if you don't believe as an individual can change, but there is the acknowledgement from the scientists that even if science says that you can't change, but it's the general rule, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't. Sometimes it does. And that basically means when we say a rule, it only applies to the most cases, but it doesn't mean, it doesn't have to be so in all cases. There could always be an exception to the rule, which is contrary to the rule. Okay, so the Rebbe is saying all this, I guess, to say that the previous Rebbe impacted the whole, even though that doesn't fit scientifically, it doesn't make sense that one individual should be able to change the whole life, the style and the way it works, because there could be even science agrees there can be an exception to the rule. And the Rebbe says, by the way, the Rebbe says, this is like in a parenthesis, I'm surprised that it is specifically in those countries in which Marxism is dominant. This is the communist Marxism, and in those countries which you have dominant forces are this Marxism and communism, and over there, there needed to be the acceptance that the idea that an individual cannot go ahead and decide for the community. I mean, I guess communism, everybody owns everything. It's not the individual. But so in the communist countries, it should be, things should not be individual. It should be collective. It should be everybody. And then you got leaders. Today we know we got, I don't want to mention the names, but we got, and in those days, you know, you had Stalin and you had, so the Rebbe says, they talk about Marxism. In actuality, in many of those countries, there is a you worship an individual to a great extent. They make one person, he becomes the one worshipped. And the Rebbe says in some countries, this dominance of total taking over, that's dictatorships and dictator. So they're supposed to go by Marxism, by communism, share, and the power, they worship an individual over there. And they dictators against logic. So that's a, by the way, point the Rebbe makes to there, that about Marxism. So the Rebbe says, I want to say it in a light way. Look, you pay attention, and the Rebbe is talking about an individual. Because look what Chabad, what the previous Rebbe built. One single person changed life. Pay attention that the institutions and the matters of my father, the Rebbe, exist today in all corners of the world. The Rebbe helped out a little bit, but the Rebbe is attributing it to his father-in-law. So, the Rebbe says, he writes in his book, what did he call it? He called the son, he calls it the sunset, that's the way he called his book. He called it in a world that has sunk. So, the Rebbe is addressing, apparently, this idea that it's saying a world that has sunk, and the Rebbe is saying that we can't really use the word sunk. Sunk would mean nothing has set, the sun, nothing, because the sun is always in existence. It only passes from one place to the other place, from the globe, from one half of the globe to the other half. It circles from one to the other one. So, but the sun is always there. Since the Rebbe's activities are alive and exist everywhere, so the shine shines and impacts continuously. Sun is there. The sun hasn't set. It's always shining. And the Rebbe said, I believe, the Rebbe said, that you told, or you wrote to me, Your Honor, that you are occupying in writing Israeli history, and in a new edition of some of your books and your articles. So this is what we read in the history of this Dr. Dinor, that while he was writing Israeli history, the Rebbe writes to him, it's my hope that the Girsa de Yankasa, Girsa de Yankasa means what you learned as a child. That means that you, the fact that you went in Chabad by the Rebbe Rashab, you were there for a while. It was there for 5 months, we learned. That is going to stand by you. That means those months that you were close to my father-in-law, the Rebbe, and in the walls of the Yeshiva Tomchit Mimim. So even though, you know, he has left it and he's gone in a different direction, but the Rebbe says, there is nothing totally wasted. Can't be nothing wasted at all, totally. And how much so more so is matters that are connected and tied to our eternal Torah. And as it is illuminated with the light of Chassidus. So the Rebbe says, your youth, your childhood study and your impact, something has to remain over there. It doesn't get lost totally. And the Rebbe says, for sure, their marks are recognized in the books and the publications that are coming out from your pen, from your yeshiva. Okay, so the Rebbe, by the way, the Rebbe says, I'm surprised, that which you write on page 109 in the above booklet that he sent to the Rebbe, that the Rebbe Altoi sent to the Rebbe, the Musa Historia Shel Yadus. So the Rebbe says that on page 109, the Rebbe read through everything, as we'll see. And in the note over there, he wrote to about the various editions of the Tanya book that came, that appeared in Russia in 8 editions, etc. So the Rebbe says that he's surprised, because that's not... The Rebbe says, take a look in the index that are printed as an addition to the book of Tanya of the Kohos edition, which was sent to you in a separate package from the last edition. And you will see that that is not the case. It doesn't elaborate over here how many editions there was, but it just says that that's not the case. So the Rebbe corrects it. The Rebbe says, with honor and with blessing. And then the Rebbe says, as it is the custom amongst Jewish people, to add to every topic something of their own. A neufech midilei. So the Rebbe is going to add something his own contribution on what he's written. Otherwise, I'm going to allow myself to make a note in the content of your article, even though it's not my area. And the Rebbe is going to make him a note. I mean, he's the professor, he's the doctor, and the Rebbe is going to make an observation and is going to point out to him what he writes. And that is, the Rebbe says, when you talk about Russian Jewry as one, and you include in this, as you in your above article, you include all the areas that were under the Russian control, under the government of Russia. So the Rebbe says, in my view, to include everything, that's a contradiction in of itself. You can't talk about Russian Jewry and include everything, because many of the Jewish sections that are in that area were not united at all. You can't talk to them about one, all of Russian Jewry. They're not together. There's only a mechanical connection between them. That means they were all under one government. And that is more important, the Rebbe says, is the connection. And sometimes more than just a connection, a zeko. In the areas it was more than a connection. They had a connection to Judaism on different countries. So you can't make all the Jewish people in Russia, some sections in Russia that were under Russia, had much more connections to other parts, and they weren't Russian. They were only technically or mechanically, they were under Russia. But then, for example, the Jews that were in the Kafkaz Jews, until the middle of the First World War, they lived their own life. It was not under the framework of Russian Jews at all. Kafkaz Jews had nothing to do with the Russian Jewry. And also the Polish Jews, that not only did they not part of Russian Jewry, but they had a life which was very partnered almost in all aspects with the Galician Jews from Galicia, Galicianers Judaism, and not with the Judaism that in other parts of Russia. So you can't Kafkaz Jews, Polish Jews, you can't talk about them under Russia. In his article, he includes them all under one umbrella. Yes, they lived all in Russia, but they weren't really connected to the Russian Jew. So the Rebbe says, based on this observation, so it's understood that in many points that you are dealing in your article, you cannot include and to learn from the numbers, okay, that are in one part of Judaism in Russia, on another section. When we talk about portions that only had a technical, a mechanical connection, they're not really connection. So you can't learn and bring, in his article, I guess he sort of mixed it all together. That's the Rebbe's observation. And the Rebbe says, understood, I want to add this, that specifically after the period that you are dealing with, which means my intention, what I mean is after the beginning of the First World War, many of the boundaries between the different sections, portions of Judaism that I mentioned before, and so the boundaries were removed. There was, again, it became more together because the Polish Jews and the Lithuanian Jews were chased inside Russia. They had that by the World War One. So they were pushed further in to Russia. And on the other hand, there was a totally cut off between the relationship of Polish Jews with the Galician Jews because of that, of the war. And the same thing is true with Kafkas Judaism. Now look how the Rebbe knows all the history. And exactly the way the Rebbe says that also my father-in-law had a very active impact over here, especially his father, the Rebbe Rashab, that in the beginning of the First World War, and also to a certain, in a great measure, even more, when the World War ended, they sent many shluchim to the Kafkas Jews, to the Jews there, and they tied ties with them in matters of religion and also in many matters which were
awesome.
About a Gruzini. And he helped them also financially, the previous Rebbe, religiously, and he sent shluchim over there. And, you know, we have the famous Jacobson, the Jacobson family, Jakabashvili, that was Jacob's son, that was the Gruzini name. And they came around and they came through the work of the Rebbe. So, the Rebbe is basically pointing out to him that you can't paint it all with one brush. And the Rebbe says further that a very central place in the later periods for Russian Judaism and Jewish history in generally took place by being influenced from outside of the Russian boundaries. Meaning Russia was impact from, not from within, but from the outside. The Rebbe says, that that's the way it's different from the Judaism, those who live in Morocco, in Turkey, Hungary, and similar. That the Yiddish guy, the Rebbe is going to challenge him his article in a minute, but the Rebbe is saying Russian Jewry was influenced by other outside influences, which is different than the Jews that lived in Morocco, Turkey, Hungary, it's similar. They were self-sustained. They weren't impacted by outside. So in their life, in their homeland or in all these countries, or using them in towards the inside, the Hungarian, Galician, and also Moroccan Jews and more were on a much higher level. And in many different points, that perhaps they were even higher than the Russian Jews. Especially, so the Rebbe is basically saying these are major differences between, and the Rebbe is going to ask him, make his point. Especially the Rebbe says the beginning of the period that you're dwelling is, so there was a big difference in these, so therefore, in the four basic, this basic phenomenons that you explain, there are four basic phenomenons that you explain in your article, which set up for this Judaism its unique place in the life of our people. He says, the Rebbe says, you need to really look into this and to investigate in the history of the Judaism in Hungary, in Morocco, to compare it, and certainly in several points, and also in many, many points, they were no less than the Russian, and even more developed. I guess he was saying that Russian Jewry were more sophisticated, they were more advanced, and the Rebbe is not agreeing with that. The Rebbe says that they were even on a higher level. And the Rebbe says, give you an example, the basis of a life which is rooted in the Jewish, in tradition of generation, and which is solidified in the lifestyle, that our brothers, the Sephardim, from above, I guess, Turkey, Morocco, the other places, they are more distinguished than the Ashkenazim. So the Rebbe says, don't make the Russian Jewry as if they're the elite, I guess the Rebbe is saying, because in a certain degree they're even greater. So the Rebbe says, and based on the above, in my opinion, you should add on the three characteristics of the Russian Jewish, of Russian Jewry, another line and a main line. And that is the influence and the mixed in the Jewish life in all part of the world, which means they were more. So the Rebbe, I guess, is attributing that the Russian Jewry was more involved, whether through writing printed matter, whether it's personal connection through shluchim, immigration, similar. So I mean, that brought about a more exposed and a more view open to the world, as opposed to the other places remained more closed. You know what? It seems to me, again, I didn't see his article, and I'm just trying to read from the Rebbe's letter here. But to sum it up to me, I get the feeling that, you know, the Ashkenazim, the Russian Jews, when they came to Israel, they looked down on the Sephardic Jews that come from the Morocco. Yeah. And maybe his article had that kind of a connotation to it, and he put a historical spin to it, and the Rebbe is basically correcting him that this is not necessarily true about the season, what he's talking about. And the Rebbe brings out that, I guess, maybe some of the so-called sophistication, I mean, that's my saying this, is due to the connection with the outside world, but the other Jewish communities, because they were more isolated and they didn't have that connection, their Yiddishkeit was stronger. Again, needs to study again, but we're...